I so loved Green World, sort of despite myself, because I was afraid, memoir. I don't know why I was afraid, but in any event, Green World is so funny and revealing, and because it's so frank, I wanted to know whether you rejected and considered the title Portrait of a Distinguished Professor as a Grad School F*** Up. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 18th year, number 906, Michelle's Green World. Michelle Ephraim is a Shakespeare scholar, a professor of English at Worcester Polytechnic Institute, and with Caroline Bix, the co-host of the Everyday Shakespeare podcast and the co-author of Shakespeare Not Stirred, Cocktails for Your Everyday Dramas. Michelle joins us this week to talk about her frank and funny new book, Green World, a tragicomic memoir of love and Shakespeare, which was just awarded the Juniper Prize for Creative Nonfiction, partly, I suspect, because of its Shakespearean mixture of tones that delighted me so much. Like Shakespeare, sometimes life is tragic and sometimes it's comic, and sometimes those lines are fuzzy and... You traversed those lines, which in a really interesting way, which I thought made Green World such a fun, and fun is the wrong word, but a page-turning read.
I like the word fun. I'm gonna claim that. I want people to say that was fun. Actually, that's a great compliment.
Good. I'm glad, because it certainly was, and it was a delightful surprise. And one of those lines was how frank you were about Stephen Greenblatt.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. 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 A lot of people have asked me about that. I told it like it is. And I don't feel like, you know, I like to think, I actually believe that I represent people in this book in a very respectful way. You know, never was my intention to be super critical or harsh or, you know, angry. That I felt like I could only include people if I had a sort of critical distance from the matter. And I did have respect for them. You know, I definitely had respect for them and even some reverence. So, which I think is what to me is the humor in that interaction with Greenblatt, is that I had such, I held him in such high regard, and I still do. But you know, that was why that scene was, that interaction with him was such a disaster, of course.
Well, and you're as hard on yourself as you are on anybody else. And again, I think that's one of the lovely things. It's funny. It's very similar to the kind of thing we do with the Reduced Shakespeare Company, which is that you can't spend this much time writing about a thing you loathe. You are writing about people and a subject matter that you love and respect, but with honesty. And with that honesty, that honesty includes self-deprecation, self-criticism.
Right, right, right. And an awareness of your own, and well, in my case, you know, how much of a striver I was, am, whatever, how needy I was, am, whatever, you know, sort of like how I had this fantasy that Stephen Greenblatt, for example, would be my friend, you know, that what would happen if we became friends, and all the wonderful things that would happen to me as a result of that. So I allowed myself to indulge in this sad little fantasy.
Yeah.
But you know, we all have fantasies. We all have fantasies.
I had a similar, a similar fantasy and encounter, disappointing encounter with Stephen Sondheim.
Oh, there you go. It's the Stevens.
It's the Steve. It's the curse of meeting your hero Stevens.
Right.
I'm fascinated by the fact that when you finally discovered Shakespeare, which is now your primary focus, you discovered him in performance. You didn't you discovered him as words coming out of people's mouths, not as words on a page. And I find that fascinating and appropriate.
Yeah. No, that's a really great point. And I think about how Shakespeare is best received, if you will. I mean, I teach literature. I teach people the printed stuff that Shakespeare wrote. But I always tell my students how important it is to see live Shakespeare. I mean, this is the case with any play. Most of them are written to be performed. And we, of course, watch film clips in class. Sometimes I take my students to see a play. But yeah, I felt like, you know, it was one thing to look at the words on the page. I mean, I feel like I literally couldn't even get past like the cover. You know, I couldn't get past, you know, Arden Classic or whatever. It was just like, oh, this is all so intimidating. Yeah. It was like no way in. And there's something about the human voice, you know, if it's conversational, it's personal, it really lets you in to the language. It gives you a way, you know, it extends a hand, it gives you a path. It just wasn't doing that for me, not initially with Shakespeare, in the way that the spoken word was.
Well, and there's a line you write in the book, I think it's in that scene where you first hear him spoke aloud. You say something like, and I'm paraphrasing badly, "I didn't know Shakespeare, but Shakespeare knew people like me."
Yeah.
And I think that's a fascinating observation, because that room you were hearing people speak in was filled with all sorts of folks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, from not from all walks of life, but, you know, a bunch of different type of people all turned on by this one writer.
Right. And I think with me, you know, Shakespeare was connected to the experience of exclusion. You know, exclusion in kind of a broader global historical way. He was a European white man, Christian white man. He had nothing to do with me or my family. My family wasn't literary in that way at all. They pushed back against those kinds of people like Shakespeare, if you will. But I think, you know, that line, what that line was about, as you suggest, is that here I was sort of thinking that Shakespeare was exclusive. And I didn't understand how much of the human experience he had captured. And I didn't understand how the ways in which I could relate to larger experiences in human existence. You know, so for example, I thought of myself as so weird. You know, I guess we all do. We all think when we're younger, like, oh, I'm the only one who's going through this. Or, you know, and you have, everyone has their own unique weird stories. But then, you know, when you hear someone's words that, of course, not actually about you, but anticipate or flesh out the emotions that you're experiencing that you haven't actually fleshed out yet. That was that sensation, you know, Shakespeare describing depressed Hamlet coming home from university, and he's got this shitty family life. He's got Hamlet coming home from university, and he's got this depressing family life, and he's all depressed, and he's just so angry, and he's hating everyone. He's hating himself for hating everyone. You know, it was just like, right, well, that's not about me in particular, but it is absolutely tapping into things that I was feeling in a way that was so insightful. It was uncanny.
And did you, I'm not remembering the timeline, or you don't tell the story this way, but your parents are both survivors of the Holocaust.
Yes.
And was, you were already processing that before you discovered Shakespeare, but did Shakespeare give you a way to refine your thinking about that?
Oh my God, yes, that's such a great question. Yeah, I mean, one of the things I talk about in the book is about shame. You know, I was really embarrassed about my parents when I was growing up, you know, that I was thought of them like, they were like the weird Holocaust people in our neighborhood, you know?
Everybody's got them.
Everyone's got this, yeah. And, you know, and we actually lived in a neighborhood where there were a lot of Jewish families, but none of them were like my family, not at all. Mm. Most of them had been educated in the States. They weren't immigrants. They had nothing to do with the Holocaust, certainly not directly. You know, so my parents didn't get along with, I mean, they made my parents feel very uncomfortable, not intentionally, I don't think, but they just felt very different from them. And I felt very self-conscious about it. So I would never talk about my parents' histories to my friends, to kids at school, you know, kind of a little bit, you know, incrementally a little bit more as I got older. But mostly that stuff was just, ooh, back burner it, be embarrassed about it, because it did impact my parents' behavior. It wasn't just the facts about them. It shaped who they were and their behaviors, which quite honestly were pretty strange and very traumatized. You know, they were very depressed and very worried all the time, very paranoid. So it was a stressful environment that people picked up on, to say the least. But I'd never wanted to talk about it. And I think, you know, my experience with Shakespeare in graduate school, which of course was also about getting older and more mature, but it was also about, I mean, you talked about being frank and being honest, even though Shakespeare was not writing autobiographically, he wasn't writing memoir. But at the same time, I think there's a frankness about some of the most painful and shameful of human experiences in his texts. Yeah. And of course, I felt that way, you know, in the most personal way, probably with Merchant of Venice, about a Jewish father and daughter. But I would say even in general, you know, he gets at some of the most uncomfortable, awkward, unfortunate elements of human interaction and feeling. And there is something very freeing about that emotional landscape.
Yes, freeing, and also the Shakespeare of it gives you that just extra remove, that sort of vocabulary of analogy and language to investigate somewhat more clinically something that's very deeply personal.
Yeah. You know, for some reason, I just thought about Burning Man. I've never been to Burning Man, but I just had the vision of Burning Man, like where you're free and can do whatever you want. And it's just, you know, anything goes. You know, it's sort of, that's like the emotional landscape for me in Shakespeare. It's the Burning Man of literature. I don't know.
That should go on all the Shakespeare posters, the Burning Man of literature, right there.
Rachel Dratch, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This fall of 2024, we'll be performing the special election edition of The Complete History of America Abridged in Illinois, Maryland, Virginia, Kentucky, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Colorado. We hope to have specific venues and dates up on our website very soon. And now back to my conversation with Michelle Ephraim. I asked her when she realized she had a story to tell and how she got the idea to write her new book, Green World, a tragicomic memoir of love and Shakespeare.
I had written an essay about my father, passing away, that got published in the Washington Post. And I wrote it because I was really upset. And obviously I was upset that he died, but what I was actually freshly upset about, I was surprised that my job became really upsetting. Like, I'd come into work and have to teach Shakespeare, and then that would involve talking about dead fathers and dead mothers and grief and loss. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, just, I need a break. And it was so poignant. Yeah. And I didn't break down crying in front of my students ever, which is sort of incredible, but it was just so rough. It was so rough. And I just hadn't thought about that. I didn't have that critical distance anymore to talk about losing a parent. You know, that was just not, it wasn't a concept. It was a concept, but it was also very much a lived, gut-wrenching reality. And it just became a very different experience to talk about it. And I was actually interpreting things differently. So I wrote an essay about that, about my hazardous line of work, you know, that I had no idea was a hazardous line of work. I thought I had a really cushy job. Yeah. But it turns out sometimes it can be hazardous in a certain way. So I think that was the beginning. And actually, I should say that I was so touched by the emails I got when it was published. I mean, you know, it was like, obviously the weird Shakespeare people like myself are all excited about that. But then it was people who were like, I don't know any Shakespeare or care, but you really captured grief, you know? And there were just so many people who were touched by it. And I felt like, oh, wow, Shakespeare really, this was how I wanted to talk about losing my father. This was the language I had to try to describe it. And it resonated with so many people that I thought, oh, you know, like, what is my relationship with Shakespeare now, having these lived experiences and reflecting back on my childhood and my relationship with my parents and my Jewish identity, my identity as a mom? You know, it is, it's actually really a part of all of those things in a very personal way, too.
Well, and I would imagine your students would be enormously, relieved or something to read about the struggles you went through to become conversant with this great author, to be knowledgeable in the ways of academia, which is a struggle for everybody.
Right. Right. And I think, you know, it's not that I tell my students, you know, I didn't read my first Shakespeare play until I was 23, because that might freak them out. But of course, they know it now, maybe. But I mean, I think it's more, you know, that I know, and I hope that I emanate this, that it's okay to feel intimidated, but you can be really good at this. I swear, I promise you, I know you can. You've got all the skills. And also our own personal experiences, you know, that we can relate our own personal feelings about the relationships we've had, to link those to how we're reading the characters in the play. So I like to think that I, you know, am very approachable and teach Shakespeare in a very approachable way. And that's very much informed, obviously, by my own experience.
One of the other great things about Green World is that one hears the phrase generational trauma, mm-hmm. But you describe it in such a way, because your parents have similar but distinct experiences, right, and reactions to what happened to them and how those reactions manifest themselves in their own behavior and their treatment of you and treatment of the right. world, reaction to the world. And it's very specific and helpful to read how generational trauma manifests in your life. It's very yeah. helpful and not at all generic, I guess.
Right, right, right. And it's something that, you know, isn't obviously just about my family or about Jewish families. It's something that right. I think so many people can relate to. And I love having conversations with people who, you know, have a very different background from me, but certainly understand that kind of trauma. And, you know, people whose parents are immigrants, first generation kids, you know, it just a lot of people really understand what this means, even if the specifics of my story have nothing to do with theirs.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds. So stick around. Michelle Ephraim's new book, Green World, A Tragicomic Memoir of Love and Shakespeare, is available wherever books are sold. Send us your story via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks, as always, to problematic moneylender Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Catherine O'Connor. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Saturday Night Live veteran and Tony-nominated actor Rachel Dratch. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 906 2718ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. I'm just such a helpless and dopey Pollyanna. I just feel like, no, you should get it. You should understand
world,
what this person's going through.
The world needs people like you. The world needs people like you. It's okay. It's more than okay.
Bless you.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.